After a successful harvest in favorable weather, farmers still faced stressors. Too few places to sell what they grew, not enough room to store it. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The South Dakota Farm Bureau annual convention has wrapped. Farmers gathered in Sioux Falls over the weekend to talk about everything from public policy to mental health. Prices are low, costs are high, and international trade can be disrupted with a single social media post. I talked with Scott Vanderwall. He is president of South Dakota Farm Bureau.
Well, in my area in east central South Dakota, pretty much everything is done. We had a really nice harvest weather, just a couple of delays here and there with rain showers. Corn's all in. We actually got the corn in. Strip tilling is all done for next year. And we put up a lot of corn stalk bales for bedding for the feedlot, and that's all done. And I think the story's pretty much the same for most people. Some folks did run out of storage, which is a good problem to have. But then they had to wait to get it into grain terminals or ethanol plants a little bit, so that slowed people down at the end. But I think we're pretty much there, and certainly thankful for the nice weather.
So I'd heard that story before about the search for storage, especially for beans, and tying that to tariffs. Is that tied to tariffs? Why was that happening? What did you hear from folks?
Well, the storage issue is just a local thing where we've had some real nice yields, and we're trying to process a lot of it here so it doesn't get sent on trains as much as it used to. So it's just a case where we're trying to process more and add value to it and then ship it out. And we tend to run out of storage with the higher yields that we've experienced in the last few years. And like I said, that's a good problem.
What has the impact of tariffs been on the farm sector?
Well, that's a really hard question to answer. And, you know, people try to put numbers on it. We know it certainly has caused disruptions with international trade. And we've been urging the administration to try really hard to develop new markets, expand the markets we have, and find new uses for our products. Certainly, the dispute with China hasn't been helpful. We've had a little bit of good news here over the last few weeks, kind of off and on. And we get some good news or good social media posts, and the market goes up, and then something doesn't quite work out, and the market goes back down. That makes it hard to market anything. But we've urged the administration to try to use tariffs as a last resort. We all know that President Trump likes them better than that, and he uses them for leverage. He does tend to get what he wants in the end, but it just takes some time. And right now with the current farm economy, we don't have time. So people are getting a little bit worried as we go into planning for next year and into the season where we get operating notes renewed.
Yeah. And how about the farm bill? What are we looking for? I know after that there's impacts on local farmers from the President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill. There are impacts from the government shutdown and then coming back up and sort of dividing out legislation and appropriations in different areas. That's a big umbrella. Pick something underneath that umbrella that you think is significant for a statewide audience to hear.
Yeah, it's a really big, complicated thing. A good share of the farm bill was passed under the One Big Beautiful Bill, anything that qualified for a reconciliation process. But after that was through, I think a lot of people in Congress felt like they were done with the farm bill. And we went back and said, no, wait a minute. There's quite a few aspects to the farm bill that did not get renewed because they didn't qualify for reconciliation. And what they did with the bill that opened the government again just the other day, they extended it down the road again for another year. So that's the third time it's been extended now for that part of the farm bill. But that's very important because agriculture needs certainty now as we go into loan renewal season. And that's part of making sure that we maintain the financial viability of our industry in this country so we can continue to feed ourselves. There is some talk of a disaster program for 23 and 24 that's just been announced to phase two. And then there is some talk of some economic assistance to try to make up for some of the tariff impacts that may come before or after the first of the year. But that remains to be seen yet.
Help non-farmers understand what reconciliation process is.
Well, it's a different process where It bypasses the filibuster rule in the Senate. Under the filibuster rule, they have to have 60 votes in favor of anything to pass through normal practice. But if it goes through reconciliation, in other words, something that has an impact on the budget or finances, they can do that with a majority vote. And with the close margins they've had in the Senate for several years now, that's become quite a common practice to use reconciliation because it's virtually impossible to get 60 votes out of 100 in the Senate.
So what did pass forward when you say, you know, that people thought the farm bill had been taken care of under the Big Beautiful Bill? What was taken care of?
Right. It was the funding packages, the support programs, the crop insurance is a normal thing that goes along with the farm bill. Actually, they don't have to reauthorize that because that's permanent. But anything that took government spending and the programs specifically are ARC and I can't remember the letters on the other one.
PLC.
Yeah. Those are the market support programs that make the Farm Bill a safety net for agriculture.
Right. And I talked to Doug Somke with Farmers Union the other day about that safety net, and he felt that it wasn't working as well as it could. What do you think is working in the safety net, and where might you agree with Doug and that there's more to be done?
Well, the safety net is somewhat outdated based on prices and reference prices and price levels. Mm-hmm. We've gone through an extremely invasive period of inflation in agriculture. Input prices that we're paying now to 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, in some cases, they've almost doubled. And fertilizer especially has gone crazy. Crop protection products have gone up quite a bit. Seed continues to go up because the seed companies are doing so much research and development. And admittedly, a lot of the increases we've seen in yields are due to that, to better genetics, and they keep raising the prices for that too. So in the case of the much higher input costs compared to commodity prices being actually lower than 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, it has really put a pinch economically on farmers. And the farm bill just needs to be updated to reflect those changes and the fact that our margins are so much different than they were when the 18 farm bill was passed.
Yeah, 2018, that's a long time to go without a significant update, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the convention in Sioux Falls for the Farm Bureau. What were some of the hot topics?
Well, kind of the same things that I've talked about, the farm economy going forward, loan renewal season coming up. International trade is huge on people's minds because when you think about it, when you're in a tough economic situation, there's really two things you can do. You can cut expenses or increase revenue. And cutting expenses is really hard. Yeah. All these companies want to be paid for their input prices or input costs. Landowners aren't volunteering to lower rent. And so expenses stay where they are. So what we need to do is do a better job of marketing. That's been pretty hard because the corn and soybean and other commodity markets have been really flat. So that's difficult to do. So you come down to finding new uses for your products and new customers. And the government has not been good at doing that the last few years. And that's where we're encouraging and urging the Trump administration to really get to work and find new markets. And they're working on that slowly, but like we talked about earlier, the tariff situation and all the upheaval in the world are causing delays in that and making it more difficult.
Yeah. So are we overproducing? Is that the wrong?
Some would say we are.
Is that the wrong conclusion to make?
Well, it's some would say we are overproducing. They used to tell us 10 years ago that we were going to have 50% more food for the world by 2040 or 50, something like that. Yeah. It's not quite working out that way. Admittedly, we have become so good at producing our products, corn, soybeans, beef, whatever it is, milk products. That makes it so much more important to get it sold. Mm-hmm. I would not go back to the old pick days where they set aside land and they reduced production intentionally. My predecessor in Farm Bureau used to say that you can't idle your way to prosperity. We just need to find new markets. And certainly there are people around the world that are hungry and need those products. So we just need to find ways to get those products to the right people.
Any updates on conservation acres, though, when you talk about setting aside land for a specific purpose, not just to be idle, but to be in conservation or habitat for pheasants or what have you? Any updates on that under the Trump administration?
I don't think a lot has changed there. CRP remains in place, the Conservation Reserve Program. We tend to favor working lands conservation, where farmers are encouraged and incentivized to use conservation tillage like strip till or no-till, making sure we're holding the soil in place, making sure the water remains clean and things like that. And those programs have been in place for a long time, and I'm thinking there hasn't been much change there.
There was recently a lawmaker, Chris Carr, who talked about how much of our water is not meeting the standard of use, and Governor Larry Roden pushed back online and said, you know, farmers are great conservationists, talking really what you're saying there about this working lands conservation philosophy. Tell us, help us understand the water situation, though. Help us understand what farmers are doing to protect clean water.
Yeah, that's a great question. And the thing I would start with is by saying that farmers and ranchers live on the land. We drink the water that's on the land and under the land, and we certainly care about keeping it clean. Admittedly, there are some problem areas out there, but the answer we would give Mr. Carr is that let's be careful about where fingers are being pointed. We're certainly glad to have the conversation and talk about what to do about the problem areas that are out there. But let's make sure that we identify where the real problems are coming from. I know there have been tests of the Sioux River, for instance, both above and below Sioux Falls. And the water below Sioux Falls is actually not as clean as where it comes into the city. So we certainly need to just all step back, and we can have a conversation about this, but let's just make sure that we're thinking logically and know the facts before we go too far down that road. We certainly would rather encourage incentives to keep on cleaning things up, like buffer strips, keeping cattle out of lakes and streams, things like that, rather than having regulations come down on us from above.
Any other example you could point to that farmers are doing right now to preserve soil health and water health that you want to leave people with?
Yeah, here's one good thing, too. Drain tiling was mentioned as a problem. Actually, drain tiling reduces erosion tremendously. It takes the excess water out of these depressions and ponds. They're not true wetlands. They don't qualify as federally protected wetlands. So when you drain tile those, it dries it out underneath. And then when you get a heavy storm with a lot of rain, it'll retain the water in those ponds and kind of act like a sponge. And then it goes out in an orderly, slower fashion through that drain tile, and it's filtered through the soil at the same time before it gets into that pipe. And it prevents erosion, because in a case where an area like that is not drain tiled, they sit saturated on top, sometimes almost full of water. And then when that heavy rain comes, it just washes down the hill and carries a lot of sediment and nutrients and everything else with it, compared to, like I said, when it's tiled, it soaks it up and holds it for a while.
All right. Anything else you want to leave us with before we let you go?
One thing I would mention, Farm Bureau has a program called Farm State of Mind. We work with National Farmers Union on that. It's called the Farm Family Wellness Alliance. And there's a website where people can go to, and this is so important because of the tough farm economy. We're starting to see more suicides among agricultural people and people with depression problems. And they can go to those websites, like Google search Farm Family Wellness Alliance. There's a website also called Together All that's hooked with that. And people can actually receive free counseling if they call on these lines. And it's free of charge. And if they actually need more help, they can get it there, too. So we want to highlight that and do our best to help those folks. And then in addition, our health facilities in South Dakota also have anonymous helplines that you can also call. And the byline that we use is that it's okay to not be okay. You need to realize that and call and get help if you feel like you're going through depression or if you see a neighbor or a family member going through depression.
Yeah, that's well said. Is that how you grew up farming? Is that something that people have become more willing to talk about openly? Is just the mental pressures of the life and the work?
Yeah, that's a great point. And farmers and ranchers are very proud people, and they tend to hide those things. And it is very difficult to get agricultural people to talk about those issues. And so that's why we focus on this, to help people understand it's okay to ask for help. You don't have to hide it, and don't keep it inside.
Scott Vanderwall is president of South Dakota Farm Bureau, and that is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. We're going to talk more, of course, about water quality and soil health in the days ahead. If you have an idea for that, send me an email in the moment at sdpb.org. And make sure to give the In the Moment podcast a follow, a like, or a comment. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.